Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 7, episode 21, and we welcome back into the fold, it's Georgie Wargy. Hi, George.
Hello. Hi, Sean.
We've missed you.
Oh, thanks. Missed
Where
you too.
Where have you been?
I don't know. I've just been various things going on.
Okay. So, it's traditional for me to ask, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm sat in my kitchen recording a podcast.
Excellent. In your kitchen. And of course, our regular miserable old git over Christmas time, John. Welcome to the podcast.
All right.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my loft.
Lofty.
I'm extremely happy to be here.
Lofty.
Oh, of course, you're called Lofty now. Is it Lofty or Loftman?
Loftman. You've just Lofty. That's
what. Lofty. And finally, last but not least. It is Nigel, a.k.a. the Shed Man. I will ask you this anyway. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed, freezing my nuts off.
Hey. There you go. So let's get straight to it, because we've had three games since the last time we spoke. So let's rattle through them. The first one, I'm going to start with George, because he went, because I helped him get a ticket. Best £10 you ever spent, eh, George?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, although you did kindly give it to me as a Christmas present. Yeah?
I did give it to you as a Christmas present. Happy Christmas, thanks, George. Yeah, so I'm going to start with the stats, actually. West Ham only had 33% possession, which sort of tells you 60, Arsenal had 67. And this is the big stat. West Ham had one shot and zero on target, while the Gooners had 8 shots, 1 on target, which went in. They won 1-0. Cracking game, eh, George?
It was amazing. I think it was possibly one of the worst games of football I've ever watched. It felt like a friendly or a training game. I know, Nigel, you were there and we've spoken about it since and we both agreed on that. It wasn't the best of...
What went wrong, George?
I just don't think that... We tried. I think, you know, we put a weakened team out. I know that obviously we're struggling in the league, but I think you discussed it on the last podcast. You did a poll about would you rather get relegated or win a cup? And I think a lot of people want to win a cup. So I think that was a disappointment from the start. But as I've said to you, I think after the Arsenal match, when you've got a manager who's got a monetary bonus to keep us in the Premier League, he doesn't care about the short-term League Cup. He wants to earn his money and keep us in the Premier League.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that point. Nigel, you were there too, although you're only 75% sure you were going. I hear you upset your wife. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, she don't.
Good. So you upset your wife, Sam, didn't you?
Carry on.
Because you were supposed to be, it's her night to go out, and you went to the cup.
Yes.
final instead.
Well, when a final, was it?
Still in the doghouse?
No, I'm out of the doghouse. I might go back in it, but you never know.
That's why you're in your shed. Go on, anything else to add on a completely lacklustre game?
Well, when the opposition put out kids in shirt numbers older than you, you know they don't really want to win it. And there was two teams that didn't want to win the game. Neither of them wanted to go through. Arsenal made 11 changes. We made 5, I think, from the previous game. We made the least, apart from Bristol City, out of the 8 teams left in the competition. And it just showed.
They had some quality. All right, I've not heard of some of their players, but they had Giroud. Was it Wiltshire or Walcott playing? I can't remember.
Walcott played. Welbeck up front. I mean,
Welbeck as well.
It was just. The difference is he didn't put out a B team. He put a mixture of B and C team out. We put a mixture of first team and subs off the bench. We put out players that think they should be playing first team football, the likes of AU, the likes of Andy Carroll. Carroll came on, And basically, our people that came off the bench to start that game didn't basically show why they were on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's to blame, the players or David Moyes?
I think it stems from the management of the club. They didn't want to win it.
Is it the board's fault, Nigel? No. Are we getting the board in?
No, I'm not going to blame the board. As George said, when you've got a manager whose whole contract is based on staying in the Premier League, the last thing he wants is another 2 games in January.
Yep.
And that's what it looked like. I just wished Arsenal had got a second and we could all pissed off early rather than hanging about.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
I did worry that it was going to go to extra time at one point.
Yeah, that would have been the worst thing that could have happened because you knew we would have got beat on penalties. Yeah. It would have meant another hour there.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I don't think there's a lot. You know, it was a nothing game, as the stat shows. 1 shot and 0 on target. John, I've got nothing to add. John, have you got anything to add?
No, I've got nothing to add about that nothing game, which was the quarter final of a cup competition. Yeah.
All right. Nothing to see here. Yeah, let's move on. So we move on to our game, a 3 p.m. Saturday game against the Magpies at home at the London Stadium. I was away. I had a prior engagement. I was away for the weekend.
What were you doing, Sean?
Come on.
Well, I was. I was away at a mini break. I had a mini break weekend at a mini spa. That was my Christmas present from my girlfriend.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? I thought mainly ladies just go to spa.
Well, actually, you say that. It is the national base of the England rugby team. You can't get more butcher than that. It's called Penny Hill Park. So it's, you know.
So was there lots of men there?
Yeah, a lot of rugby types.
Did you feel really butch when you were there, Sean?
Yeah, I did. I was in my little speedos in the jacuzzi with a lot of butch men with really big upper torsos. Anyway.
I wonder what you're going to say
it's
then.
Not a, it's not a spa podcast. It's a football podcast. So let's get back. Anyway, I couldn't go. You three went. So I'm going to hear what you had to say because all of you three went. Again, because we've missed George. Let's hear from George first.
Oh, I feel so special.
Went on, George.
Yeah, so I think this was a bit of a shock to the system for everyone. I mean, we talked about it on the way into the ground. How we are expected to win this one, but knowing West Ham, this will probably be the one that we mess up. And
no winning 9 games, wasn't it?
Yeah, 9 games or 10 games, something like that. So, you know, it was inevitable, really. I think the early goal, we got a bit complacent. It was a really good goal, by the way. I thought Arnautovic did really well.
Yeah.
But I think complacency stepped in and we saw it came back to bite us. And, you know, we had chances. And, yeah, I think it was a poor performance all round, but like I wasn't overly surprised.
Adrian had a go at the defence and said, we've got to get better in the air, and his defenders had to get better in front of them. Do you blame the defeat on the defenders, or was it deeper than that? Was it a management issue? Was it a whole team issue? Where would the problem lie?
The board.
Did we miss a penalty? Or did I imagine that?
Missed a penalty. Look, a really poor penalty, actually. Yeah. It was.
Well, we had chances. You know, we didn't take them. It was issues going forward as well as in defence, I think. I think Winston Reid isn't having the greatest of times at the minute. I think
he got
dropped for the Bournemouth game, didn't he? So,
yeah. Oh, dude, that attack. West Ham actually enjoyed the possession with 64%, which meant the Magpies obviously had 36%. West Ham had 19 shots, 6 on target. The Barcodes had 11 shots, 4 on target. So from shots, we should have won, shouldn't we, Nigel?
Should we? I don't know about that.
I don't know.
It was
you. What was your view from the upper hemisphere?
I blame David Moyes. I think it all stems from the missed penalty. I think they couldn't understand what Moyes he was saying. He was shouting, hey, you, take the penalty. And I think he was pointing out now because he couldn't remember his name. And it ended up, they all thought he was saying, hey, you, when he was going, hey, you, take the penalty. And that's what happened. It just went wrong from there.
Sean, that is it.
Oh, dear.
He lost the jingles. He hasn't got them.
He's lost the jingles.
Yeah.
Comedy gold. Yeah. That's what happens when you get a Scotsman in charge. You know, no one can understand what he's saying. He's still new in the job. He don't know people's names, and he got the penalty taker wrong. If Arnautovic had stepped up and smashed it home, I think we'd have been talking about a win.
Reckon.
Instead, they all switched off at the back. A lad mowed the army to come in for the third goal.
Yeah. He didn't celebrate the goal, to be fair.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I couldn't give a monkey's whether they celebrate or not, to be fair. I think it's disrespectful to Newcastle fans. They pay his wages. He left us to join that top 14.
Yeah, I remember.
You know,
it's, I think he said top six, didn't he? Was it top four or top six?
Was it? Oh, well.
And he joined Hull.
To be fair, he weren't going to get it with us anyway, was he? So, but it's just, it was typical West Ham. In a way, it's like wasting the win over Chelsea.
Yeah, we did so well over Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal. And then, you know, we win Stoke and get our hopes up, you know, and start talking about top 10 finish.
But again, it shows that Moyes, when it's all right playing against the big boys, 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah.
But when you come up against the lesser teams, when you're expected to come out or attack more, it just shows the fragility, there's a long word, fragility of our defence when exposed without the people in front of them to help them out.
John, what is your words of wisdom on this game?
Pretty much as it's gone before me. Yeah, the Arnautovic goal was a good goal, and it came quite early. And I think they just sort of switched off. I think, you know, having had the win at Stoke, and they're starting to believe sort of like they're better than others, and sort of just switched off. And I agree, if Arnautovic had got the pen instead of IU, that might have snapped him back into it. But I think it does bring it into question, because I know we're going to talk about the Bournemouth game, but when we're doing all right with this setup when we're away from home, because they're at home, they're expected to attack, and we can get them on the break and that. But they got to find a way of sort of beating these teams at home, haven't they?
Yeah.
So it just shows that up at the moment. But yeah, it was a poor performance. It was a defensively poor. It was just poor. Very disappointing. Yeah. But typical West Ham.
Typical.
Well, lucky I missed most of it, because I was watching, but I was in the hot tub and I had some Bluetooth earphones in. So I was watching it a little bit away, but the bubbles kept on sort of getting in the way. So it was sort of...
What a lovely picture.
The bubbles getting away. The bubbles getting away at the ground.
The mind's eye is doing cartwheels now. Oh, dear.
But I will be back for the West Brom game. So I will be retaking my seat.
Thank God for that.
Let's move on to the Bournemouth game. Funny enough, for the Bournemouth game, at the very last minute, I was offered a ticket. Now, I don't know if you know, but 1,300 tickets is the allocation for Bournemouth. 700 go to away season ticket holders. Then probably another 50 go to the 800 bond holders. Around another 50 go to staff. So there's only about 500 left for the priority points holders, of which I think you needed about 24 points from memory. How many points have you got, Nigel?
That's between me and my and the club.
What? You've said it before. Are you not prepared to say it anymore?
Off the top of my head, I've got about 27.
Oh, right. Oh, lucky for you. Anyway,
you wouldn't
people...
have gone anyway, would you, Sean?
Well, I would have done.
Well, you got offered a ticket, so why did you not go then?
Well, because by then it was Boxing Day. I had the kids and I couldn't arrange anything last minute. If I'd have known beforehand, I would have arranged something with the kids. I still had the kids. And I was only offered one ticket. But fair play to the 1,300 people that went to... I'm going to call it Dean's Court, but it's not called Dean's Court anymore, is it? What's it called?
The Vitality Stadium.
The Vitality Stadium. Do you know it's got a champagne bar called Bubbles?
No.
Anyway, I assume none of us went.
We've got a champagne bar named after a monkey.
Sorry, say that again?
It's just
so champagne bar. Named
Nigel,
after
it's a wasted.
Monkey.
It's wasted on him. You
hang on.
Hey.
I'm surprised they didn't buy that statue off of Fulham then. That would have fitted right in the corner.
Right, I know the question. I know the answer to this. Did any of us go?
No.
Did all of us watch it?
I watched the first half and then I had to go out to family for the second, so I watched the rest of it on a catch-up.
I
watched Match of the Day.
I only really saw highlights, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so,
well.
So who do we start with? I don't know. Mr. Bond. Nigel, you said you watched on catch-up, so you watched the whole game.
I watched most of it. I saw about, I don't know what Sky do, they did about half hour or 40 minutes of it, wasn't it?
Right, well, let's start with the stats. 3-3, we all know. West Ham had 57% possession. Cherries had 43. West Ham had 10 shots, 5 on target. Cherries had 25 shots, 10 on target. Nigel, discuss.
Fortunate to get back into it after going 2-1 down, thanks to the weather.
To the weather?
Begovic. Yeah, Begovic slipped over in the rain. Allowed
Army
I think Moyes has stumbled about on Arnautovic being a great centre forward for West Ham. Twofold. One,
or Arnautovic, as a kid man, spelt it on the back of his back for that game.
Perhaps he's dyslexic.
Maybe Jay from Hammer and Talk is the kit man.
Well, yeah, that could be.
Almost funny, Sean.
Yeah, that didn't deserve anything. Tumbleweed. Have we not got tumbleweed? Dear. Anyway, as I was saying, like fortunate with the goal, he's stumbled upon Arnautovic. But the best thing about Arnautovic being up front is he ain't got a track back. So when he was out left or right, he would expose the left back or the right back to being attacked because he never tracked back. Now Moyes has put him up front. Not only is he getting goals, he don't need to track back, and we're not left as exposed. The third goal, where do we start? Dear, oh dear. Defending was poor
Our third goal or their third goal?
Their third goal.
Right in the last seconds. We fast forward right to the last. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I look at it, and people say, oh, his foot's offline, offside. I don't know what the rules are exactly. So for me, he looked onside. I think the argument was, did the officials think he touched it or not? And that's the only reason I can think they allowed the goal is they thought Wilson didn't touch it. Because there was no
other
reason.
But he was offside, wasn't he?
Yeah, but if he don't touch the ball, it don't matter.
What is Simon Long, who's the assistant referee, doing? You know, he's waving his flag in the air. Well, do you know what? Moyes asked Bobby Madley, the ref, and said, well, why did you wave your flag? And apparently he told David Moyes he was drawing my attention to the incident. He went, I've never heard anything quite like that. What incident's that then? If it wasn't offside and it wasn't a handball, why are you? I'm just waving because, what, it was a goal, or what am I waving? I think
I'm only guessing it, because this is the only reason I can see it being allowed, is that Ake headed it. Wilson goes up. The linesman's put his flag up. The referee can't tell whether Wilson's touched the ball or not, and he's gone over to the linesman to see whether he's touched the ball or not. And the linesman
who's flagged offside.
Right, but the linesman's then the linesman can only have gone, oh, I don't know 100%. Because you've got to be 100%. I don't know 100% if he touched it or not. And then the referee's gone, right, if you don't know 100%, I'll give a goal. That is the only reason.
Or there's some kind of alleged betting scam or corruption.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't buy that. Really, I don't buy that.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It just don't.
Let's go to Jot. I mean, we're going to come back to two other events, obviously, with the Simon Francis and the Obiang incident, but let's talk about the goal that never was or was. John, what's your view? I mean, Nigel's given one view.
I thought he flagged for offside, and I always, when I see them sort of offsides, I always remember back to when we were at Man United away and Kevin Nolan's head was just slightly in front and we got an equaliser and it was offside because his nose was in front of the line. You know, if it's that close, I thought he'd flag for offside. And if he didn't initially, and there was question whether he touched it or not, and they thought he didn't touch it so the goal could stand, the fact that he's there, he's interfering with play, so he's offside at that point anyway. And I think it shouldn't have been allowed, but, I wouldn't do, would I? But I've never seen anyone kick someone in the head full on and not get a red card. So it was one of those strange... You know, if you were a conspiracist, you could say some of the things that Bobby Madley's done, because we were there at the Chelsea game, weren't we, when he gave the penalty that was never outside the box.
Yeah.
So, you could really look into it and say, this bloke is something wrong here.
Well, Hackett's come out against him, and so's Graham Pohl. And I'm trying to think of the other one, Kevin, someone who said he was overweight and unfit, and that was his problem, that he just can't keep up with a game because he's unfit and fat.
Yeah, it was just a weird. Anyway, I saw the first half. I saw that foot in Chiarte's face. I've never seen anyone do that, be it accidental or not, and not get a straight red.
Well, as you know, Adrian got one for doing it waist height before, he, if you remember, he got a straight red, and his appeal was denied.
Yeah, but we'll see again. And then you got the other side of it. You've got the off-ball incidents with Obiang, But there's two or three things there which you could seriously say is a bit iffy, and yet the FA have come out and done nothing. Yeah, you could say that by Wilson coming out and saying it afterwards, saying it was like a touch of magic and all this, he's kind of admitted to cheating, deceiving the referee, and that's just the same thing as Lanzini got two game ban for.
Well, that's the other point, isn't it, for
deceiving a referee and gaining something from it. He's admitted it basically on the telly that he's done.
He said a touch of magic, and it was a special touch, I think he said.
So where is
deceiving a match referee? Because he did, because people around him said, no, I didn't touch it to the ref.
So where's the FA in this?
Official that the FA aren't taking any action?
Well, they would have done by now. Surely it would have happened.
What have they got to take action for? We're sounding a bit like sore grapes here. He's headed the ball. It flicked his head and flicked his hand. He didn't punch the ball into the goal. He said
that I didn't touch it. He then told the referee I didn't touch it.
Of course he did.
But the point I'm making isn't that the FA needs to take action to anything to do with the result of the game. It is what it is. But
no,
I'm saying that he should be punished as a referee for making three or four wrong game-changing decisions.
But then, and the Obiang incidents off the ball, that should be looked at.
He wasn't punched.
The geezer threw his arms out in frustration and spun round as Obiang ran past him and caught him.
He turned round and apologised. His
first action was to apologise to the player.
A minute ago, you sort of watched the game, right? And suddenly you're an expert on it.
I've seen that clip. It just makes me laugh. Too many people want to throw their hands up and say, let's throw the book at them.
But it's only a little bit of consistency, Nige, isn't it, basically?
The referee's a joke, and for me, he should be dropped.
But if the FA are going to be doing like the Lanzinis of this world, for what he did in that game.
Surviving. You know, you got to separate them out. You can't just use Lanzini. What happened to Lanzini? It's got to be separated out. He got done for diving.
But then you see Dele Alli do the same, virtually the same thing.
This is the thing that confuses me. The way I see it is you only get done retrospectively for diving if the ref gives a penalty and it's scored.
Yeah, but Alli got done for, it got basically got a penalty. They scored. Did they not score from it?
And, I don't know.
And it's just like, it's the lack of consistency from it.
That's always going to be the way, though. When they bring these rules in, it's good that they've brought the rule in, but the problem with them is it's like this offside rule. They're so open to interpretation. I think the rule is a player can be offside the way Callum Wilson was, but as long as he don't touch the ball, they deem him not to be interfering with play. So technically, the League Cup goal of 1981, Sammy Lee, he wasn't flagged offside in that, but he should have been because the rule was then. But nowadays, that would be a perfectly legal goal because he didn't touch the ball. If you don't watch linesman, when the player touches the ball, he can be offside for 10 yards, chase the ball. As soon as he catches the ball up and touches it, lino puts his flag up. Right, now you're offside. So you're only offside now if you touch the ball.
Yeah.
Nigel.
That's the problem. Yes.
Nigel, you've been smoking something over the weekend, Christmas break. Because it was offside. You're the only West Ham fan I've heard call it offside. David Moyes called it offside. Nearly every commentator, every referee has said it was offside and it was handball. It should never have been given. Madley has been condemned by everybody. Most people have said, Moyes said, if it was one of ours with the Chiarti incident with Francis, they would have got 6 or 7 games. He actually said, you would have got 6 months in jail.
The bloke, and this is the thing I'm going to defend the Bournemouth bloke again. Watch his head, his eyes. He's watching the ball the whole time, yeah?
Every one of those incidents, pretty much.
He kicks the player, though, the player's ducked down into him with his legs bent. His legs ain't straight up. West Ham's player, Chiarti. He's not straight up. He's actually bent down.
I would say if you look at 9 out of 10 of those incidents, it's not an intentional incident when they get a kick in the head. But they always get...
What happened with Nani? Do you remember Nani at Man U?
That was in Europe, wasn't it?
Yeah. What happened? He was looking at the ball all the time, got sent off.
But then I blame the ref then for sending him off.
You need to take more water with your whiskey.
What do you think, George?
Yeah, go on, George.
Well, I think I've said what I think, haven't I? That I just think he's got to be, the FA have got to do something to him.
But all three incidents, you know, I agree that, you know, the referee's got to be punished. But Nigel seems to be saying we've all got it wrong and we're all overreacting.
No.
We're all deluded.
Shit happens.
We're all deluded. We're all talking about
it. I'll tell you what I sent to my mate. I sent him a clip of the goal in 2007 of when the ball never crossed the line. It hit Tevez and it was handball in the build-up. And I bet not one West Ham fan complained about that goal being given. And basically, shit happens in football. You have to take it on the chin and just move on to the next game.
I was watching, I don't know if you knew the result before you watched it. I was watching live and I went from being 2-1 down and being here we go again, same old shit West Ham. So obviously we got the draw, it went to 2-2 and I'm going, great, I respect the point. Then in injury time, we go 3-2 up and we're seconds away. And I'm running around the room celebrating, going, yes, yes.
Everyone's
going, what's going on? And then we concede right at the dying. It's a roller coaster of being a West Ham fan.
Yeah.
And then you went and got like a hot coals massage, yeah, or something.
No, I wasn't at a spa when I was watching the Bournemouth game, though.
Anyway,
that's the Bournemouth game. Do we celebrate? I mean, we got a point out of two games, or do we look at it that over the last three games, Stoke, Bournemouth and Newcastle, we got 4 out of 3?
I think the points dropped, to be honest. I looked at the three games over Christmas that we've got, so Newcastle, Bournemouth and West Brom, maybe Bournemouth away, perhaps not, but Newcastle at home and West Brom. You expect at least 7 points from those three games.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can still get 3 points from...
Wanted.
Yeah. I'd expect it. Would you not? The way we'd been playing.
No, not we expect are. Anything. Where you go wrong.
We went away to Stoke 1-3-0. I know Stoke aren't having the best of times.
Yeah, but we cheated to get the first goal.
Anyway, let's move on. We're recording this on a Friday, which we don't usually do. Friday the 29th of December, which means that we're only 3 days away from the transfer window opening. Did you know that?
Can't wait.
So, as usual, West Ham are looking to get all their business done really early, aren't they, John?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they've got it all lined up ready for the first.
So... Before we talk about incomings, we talk about outgoings. My senior sources say that AU is available a price of 20 million or more. Chicharito is available for 16 million or more. Sacco is available for 12 million or more. And Carroll is available for £10 million or more. And by the way, if anyone wants Font or Byram, they can have them too.
Nice.
Would you keep any of them? Do you think they fit in with our system? Which ones, any of them that you would keep, John?
I know. I really don't understand the situation with Hernandez. I don't know what's gone on there. I mean, not even our third goal.
I just don't think he fits in Moyes' system, if I'm honest with you.
Well, it was his reaction to the ball coming across that made the keeper push it out to Arnautovic, didn't he? So it's like, you know.
I'm told by the club, by the way, they said he wasn't not celebrating the goal. He was just frustrated he didn't get the goal himself, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, I didn't take any notice of all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't understand why he's not the man and why he's not being started and why he's not... I don't understand that. But I can understand why they might want to get rid because he's not lit the place up. But he does score. He gets in the right places.
Mm.
Are they just trying to not have the 14th highest wage bill anymore? I don't know. Carroll? Yeah, Carroll can go.
Yeah.
But you can't sell it.
Sacco?
Can you?
You heard what Sacco said today?
No.
Or his agent said today?
No, I haven't enlightened me.
Wait, whose phone's that?
Is that?
Yeah,
that's mine. Sorry, it was Huey ringing me. Sorry, schoolboy error. What was I saying? His agent came out today and said He wants to move because he wants a club that will have faith in him to play regularly. And he's a very professional player and he doesn't want to do anything untoward. And he knows West Ham will make money, so he wants out.
Okay. But you've got to say,
in the sun.
They've got to have, surely got to have something lined up, haven't they? You lied up.
No.
Well, that's apparently what I'm saying. How can they not put all these up for sale and not have anything lined up?
Well, they haven't put them up for sale. They've just said they've got valuations on them. So they're not actively pumping them around the market. They're saying if bids came in for any of these players, they've got a particular valuation of what they would take for them.
What?
So they're not actively going, do you want to buy Carroll? Do you want to buy... Sacco might be different. Do you want to buy Hernandez? I don't think they're punting around Hernandez going, anyone want to have Hernandez? But if they got their 16 million back, remember he's on 145 grand a week, I think they would cut their losses.
A next level player on next level wages.
Yeah. And they want to cut their losses.
And they want to cut their losses.
Because he was bought under Slaven Bilic and not David Moyes.
And what difference does that make?
And Moyes have got history. I don't think there is a clean sheet, and I don't think the two of them get on. That's only my personal view.
Oh, well, there again, we will never know.
Nigel?
Well...
Is he a Moyes player?
Oh, Little Pete? No, he's not a West... Look at his goal scoring ability. Man United, Real Madrid, he got goals, but he had some top players giving him the service. We ain't going to have them players giving him the service. So he's going to look like a little boy lost. He'll probably get 8 or 10 goals for us, top whack.
That's a lot, isn't it? We get not get many, get that many, do
that's
we?
That's generally what we get out of a striker anyway. I mean, I look at it and I think 16 million for him or 20 million for AU, you know, oh, come on. I mean, the clubs would be biting their hand off to take him for 16 million rather than AU, wouldn't they? Sacco, yeah. I'm disappointed.
Would you keep AU?
Would I? Yeah. Well, depends what you're going to replace him with, isn't it?
Yeah.
The mad thing about AU is he does pop up with a goal now and then. He must have about, I don't know, 10, 12 goals in total for us, maybe more, in little over a year and a half. Which is not fantastic, but it's about right to what West Ham have done over the past few years, isn't it? The last decent striker who got a few goals was Sacco, funny enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But he wants out. I mean, Sacco's gone and...
It's a shame that we've not been playing him. I don't know. I reckon we've not been playing him so we can sell him so he don't get injured.
Or keep his back from not going.
Well, that's... Yeah, but when was the last time he was injured? When was the last time he was out with his
back? He was injured just a little while ago. He's only just come back to full fitness.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, he seems to have spent a long time being on the bench. He's played a lot of games this season.
Would you keep Font? He seems to be out of favour. And also, they don't reckon, or Moyes doesn't think Byram is, it will make the grade either. So he's, we'll take an offer for...
Well, it's all right getting rid of these players, but are they going to bring people in? The squad is thin as it is, and this is the
thing. He says he wants quality. He's already said it in his interview, so it must be true.
Yeah.
I want quality. I want to bring in quality. I've given these
things. What is David Sullivan's mantra for buying in
David Moyes said... David Moyes said, I have given opportunities to players. I'm in a hurry. Yeah. I need to get on. I need quality in January.
And what is David Sullivan's mantra about buying in January?
It's overpriced and you don't get good value.
And you don't get quality.
You can probably get quality, but you pay over the top for it.
So he don't...
And this is the problem.
He's never bought quality in January the before. He's had eight shots at it before. How is he going to get it right?
Denver Bar.
We've done this before. Topped you off with Mido.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
What do you think, George?
George, which one would you keep out of those?
I'd like to keep Hernandez.
Yeah.
I think that there is a place for him. I think he's a top goal scorer, although he hasn't done it for us so far, but, you know, he's only been there for 6 months. And quite often when he's been given the ball in and around, he's done well. I mean, I sort of remember my best day out this year so far was Southampton away, even though we lost to a dodgy penalty in the last minute. But the other two, I think I wouldn't mind seeing the back of. And Font okay. and Byram, again, don't really care.
I don't mind if all of them go, actually. I don't think Hernandez does fit in, and I but you're right, we've got to spend and get someone of better quality or equal quality to replace them. If this will work, you can't just...
That's all right, I agree with it then, Sean.
Well, this year it's just about surviving, yep. I guess.
So go on then, the list of what's coming in.
Anyway, options. this is where George helps us, because there's no way I can pronounce the 28 names I put in the running order. So George, can you read 28 the 28 names?
Really?
Yeah, go on.
Keeson Young from Swansea.
Yeah.
Danilo Pereira. No idea who he is. Islam Somali from Leicester. He's a striker. Yeah. Mitrovic in Newcastle. He's a striker. Giroud, striker. Sturridge, striker.
Yep.
Liam Moore, unsure. William Carvalho, not a striker. Stephen Nzonzi, unimpressive. Morgan Schneiderlin, Jack Wilshere, Alfie Mawson, Nicholas Gaetan, Gabriel Pires, Andre Schürrle, he could be a good shout. Theo Walcott, Harry Arter, Moussa Dembele, Danny Ings, Brian Cristante, Lamine Kone, Joe Allen, Raul Jimenez. It's not the same... Have we had Raul Jimenez before?
We have been. He was supposed to come to us before, yeah.
Sam Johnston, Simone Verdi, Didier Ndong, and Marouane Fellaini. Give us Schürrle.
So I was going to say, let's start with you, George. Give us your top three or four out of those.
Schürrle, Dembele, and Wilshere, please.
Wilshere's just said, by the way, he's going to stay at today. He's going to stay. Yeah. John, which three or four would you like out of those?
I think Nzonzi's done really well in Spain, defensive midfielder.
He's going to Everton. Big Sam's going to sign him in 48 hours.
So apparently. Where does that mean Schneiderlin's available then? Is that why he's available?
Looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would. Well, then let's go Carvalho. Let's have. Giroud, and let's have Kone, because we need a defender.
Nigel.
Oh, dear. That's a tough old list, isn't it?
It is.
I'd probably take a punt. Schneiderlin. Bit of a Schneid, isn't he? Sturridge, if... Is he going to stay fit? I like Andre Rieu. He can play a fiddle. I don't know. It's a tough one. Walcott, maybe. Danny Ings, actually. I'll pick out that list. I can see Danny Ings. And Moussa Dembele. Dembele's good. Yeah. I don't know if it's the good one, because there's about half a dozen of them. But he's got a good name.
It's a Celtic striker. 21.
All right, I'd take, if we could get Moussa Dembele and Danny Ings and Andre Rieu, that'd be good.
I would go with Sturridge.
Sean's going to go and Google Andre Rieu now, see if I'm talking the Austrian.
Yeah.
He's good, brings in the club.
Mawson. I would go for Walcott as well. I know we probably wouldn't get Walcott, but... How about Fellaini? No one went for Fellaini. You wouldn't have Fellaini?
Why not?
Anyway, let's have them all. Come on.
We've got a budget of about 25 million plus whatever goes outbound. How much business do you... This is the last segment, then we're going to do our prediction. John, go eat you. How much business do you really think we'll get done this winter?
Probably nothing, Sean. They're bloody useless. I actually tweeted out that, don't worry, everyone. Come the first, we'll be ready to go in good, timely manner to sort out our defensive and our attacking problems. But we all know they're not. It's beyond my comprehension. If you run a business, which essentially this is, that you're not ready and prepared 1st of January. He's been there long enough to come to him and say, look, I really need another one of these. Get me this, get me that, two, three, whatever. Let's have this sorted as soon as, because it's 1st of January. It just, instead of waiting to the end of the window, that's another how many games you're without these players.
Yeah.
Should be, well, as soon as it starts, we should have
George, anything else to add to your father?
No. I think just get on with it. We clearly need the reinforcements, so just get on with it and just stop talking about it.
Yeah, stop getting your kids in the papers showing off your properties and stuff and do some running of the business, you know?
Yeah. Nigel, you got anything pro board to say?
I did enjoy them, actually, the reading about young Jack or young Dave and his money. Oh, fantastic.
Just new Hugh Hefner.
It just goes to show that no matter
how much you know he says he works. Well, how many hours did he work? Did he say he worked?
What I love about them is the more they talk about the wealth, the more people hate them and distrust them.
I got told he, at best he works about an hour and a half, but I can't say who told me that. But anyway, let's move on. The transfer window opens and we'll see how we do by the next podcast.
What's his name? Oxford. Is he back?
Yeah, he's coming back. We got an exclusive interview yesterday on Clarence Hugh with David Sullivan telling us he's coming back and he'd had no offer from Red Bull Zabik or whatever they're called. And that, you know, he said everyone has a price, of course, but unless they make an offer they can't refuse. He's coming back, and Moyes said today in his interview he's looking forward to watching Reece Oxford play. So good. So, time for predictions. Now, it might be a little while before we get a Monday that we can record again. So, actually, we've got West Brom. I don't know if you know, before the West Brom game, we've got a week to rest. We've got nothing this weekend because the Spurs match got moved. So we've got 7 days or 6 days of rest. They've only got 48 hours because they play Arsenal this weekend. So we have got West Brom on the 2nd, Spurs on the 4th, and Shrewsbury away on the 7th. So we might not record. So let's do predictions for all of them. Let's start with you, George. West Brom, Spurs, and Shrewsbury.
3-0, 3-0, 3-0.
Okay, sensible as ever. John.
1-0 West Ham. 3-0 Spurs, 1-0 West Ham.
Nigel.
2-0 West Ham against West Brom. We're going to lose to Spurs, 4-0. And Shrewsbury, we better bloody win. I'm going. So.
Oh, that was another sellout as well. So you must have done well to get that as well. Huddersfield has sold out as well. Did you know that?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Probably got that one as well. West Brom, I'll go for 1-0 against West Brom.
You sound quite bitter sometimes, Sean.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
People who play the system.
yeah, don't start that because I'll start telling people. Go on.
What?
Yeah.
I don't play the system.
No, of course not.
I ask favours.
Phone number? What's their name?
There's a difference of asking favours and playing the system. They're two different things.
Oh, of course there is. Yeah, go on.
I bypass the system. That's different.
Oh, right.
Anyway, West Brom 1-0. Spurs, I think you're right. I think we'll lose 3-0 against Spurs. And Shrewsbury will be a draw and it will go for a replay.
Something to look forward to.
Shrewsbury at home. They love that. That will be their best outcome, wouldn't it be?
No, beat us and get Man United in the next round.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever. That's all we've got time for. Anyway, I have been Sean. John has been...
Looking forward to a happy new year, Sean.
George has been...
In my kitchen.
And Nigel has been...
I don't know what I've been today. Fed up.
Anyway.
Listening to Andre Rio.
With that,
I'm listening to Andre Rio, yeah.
Right. Bye then.
Come on, you Irons. Bye. Bobby Moore than just a podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.